woods and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the world on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, where you can pick up our podcast absolutely free and without commercial, because I like to talk about the commercials within the content. But seriously, without sponsors, without people on this show, we don't get to do this show. So Conquest Sense, of course, have been with us. Doug Roberts and Karen Roberts have been with us as guests and have recently become sponsors of the show. And they are the greatest people in the world to work with, man. Everybody we've worked with, I truly love. And hopefully someday we'll have Lucky Buck back on. But with everything going on here in Michigan, we're gonna really kind of take things easy and see what happens. You know, we still love our Lucky Buck. We still encourage its use where legal and possible. But, until we can get them back on, we're being brought to you by Conquest Scents. And they are ATA approved, just so you know, for their hunting scents and their scent dispensers and all of the deer product-based scents that are on the market have to be ATA approved. So look for that when you go out there, and you will know that Conquest Scents will always be ATA approved. So, and they've got a really cool lineup of stuff with the Scrape Maker, the Scent Fire, the dog training scents, which coming up in the spring will be great for you to get out and use, and all the hunting scents like Evercomb and VS1 as well. So we thank Conquest Scents for being on board with us. You can find them on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. I'm Duran Martinez, and my buddy Keith Stanton. You've seen him on Michigan Out of Doors television. You've seen his videos. He is pike spearing guru. How are you, sir?
Great. How are you, Grant?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you. And it was kind of funny, as I was mentioning off air, I was going back to my text. You know, I like, okay, who am I going to get this week? Oh, I got to get Keith Stanton on the show this week. And I go back to the text. We're only like 2 weeks away from being like a year on the spot.
So it's always good. I look forward to talking with you every year. That's for sure.
Well, you know, I think I'm going to have to probably expand my horizons a little bit and talk with you about pike fishing during the course of the year. But this is your thing. This is what you have narrowed down as your niche, is pike spearing and jigging for pike with the Pike Killer lures. But and I want to talk about that first. I want to talk about, you know, rod and reel pike fishing through the ice with these very bright, very, you know, active lures that you're using for jigging. Because, I mean, a lot of people do either put tip-ups out or they'll spear through the ice, which is probably more niche than anything else. But this is a really kind of a different way to get these things to respond.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept, and what I found with it, it's a spoon with a skirt, kind of an umbrella skirt. And what I found when I'm jigging with them, I rip a minnow in half and use just the head of the minnow. And when I'm running them on a tip-up, I'll use a lively minnow on there to make them, you know, shake and jump around. And I know I see a lot of videos on Facebook, guys are using these for spearing, and they're putting a live minnow on and putting them down the hole. And, you know, they're like pike magnets. When the pike are active and they're on, they bring the fish in. It's unbelievable. When I first started doing this, a lot of guys were like, oh, you know, it's a fluke. Well, it was about the time that underwater video came out, so I was able to capture so much of that footage, and I've got proof. And so, you know, we've been making these for about 9 years now, and we sell the heck out of them, and they've, you know, it's really taken off, and it's really a nice little add-on to have in your tackle box and your ice fishing.
Okay, I'm going to say right now, Keith, a 40-inch plus pike through the ice on a rod and reel with a Pike Killer lure is not a fluke, okay? That doesn't happen by accident.
Oh, I've gotten one that's that size, and, you know, there's a video that's made the rounds showing me catching that fish, and the bummer is I wanted to get that fish back in the water so it, you know, lived to see another day. I didn't weigh or measure the fish that we're talking about, and so it was probably like 54 is what I'm telling people.
Oh, 54, okay. Because I'm looking on your website, pikespearing.com, it says 40 plus, so that extra 14 inches may be there.
Hey, you never know. I didn't get a chance. No, it was at least a 40-inch fish, and that's one thing I tell folks. I'm spearing a lot, so especially on the lakes that I'm spearing, when you're spearing a fish, you're taking them home to eat, obviously. So if I catch a fish hook and liner on a tip-up, as long as it's not injured, it always goes back in the hole, and that doesn't matter, you know, how big it is. It's kind of a karma thing, you know. If you're taking some to eat, make sure you put some back for the next guy or for the next generation.
Absolutely. Now, Keith Stanton is our guest here. PikeSpearing.com is his website. Keith, what brought you to the jigging spoon? You know, what brought you to that? I mean, was it a lot of experimentation, or was it just, you know, hey, one day, this is it, I'm going to try this?
It was a buddy of mine that does a lot of bass fishing in the summer, and he always talked about how when he's using, you know, jigs, with the skirted jigs, that the pike were always breaking them off. And we kind of got to talking, and we came to the conclusion that, hey, if you could come up with a winter lure that combined a spoon, which has, you know, been catching pike since the beginning of time, mm-hmm. and a skirt, you'd really be onto something. And so, yeah, I just kind of went to work and started ordering different tackle components, and we had three or four different tries at it before we landed on the what is now the Pike Killer lure. And it had, other than colors, it hasn't changed since its inception, and it's been catching fish ever since.
Now, when you look at these things, it does have a big, like an umbrella skirt, like you said, a spoon underneath, treble hook. But, you know, it's all about flash with pike. It's about action. It's about flash. And using underwater video, trust me, that is so important, because my wife and I were out pike fishing one day, or not pike fishing. We were out just, you know, bluegill fishing. And I was off checking another hole when she screamed from the chapelle there, saying, hey, something went by the camera and it took a long time to go. I said, was it spotted? She's like, yeah. I said, okay. So I came back. I said, well, let's just see what we can do here. And I put my minnow down the hole and I'm jigging, and it didn't like the minnow. Okay, it wasn't active enough. I switched the minnow. I put it down the hole, and you can see this thing come out of the dark, and then the reaction. I'm like, well, this ain't going to take long, because I've only got like 2-pound test, and it's going to cut it right in half. And it did, you know, but it was a fun ride while it lasted. And with those underwater cameras, you can see everything.
They make life so sweet especially when you're jig fishing for pike. You know, these fish are as delicate and as dainty as they are ferocious on some days. And so there's a lot of times where you'll go fish a lake, you'll be jig fishing for pike, and had you not had that camera, you would not even know there was pike in that lake, because a lot of times these fish will come flying in, they'll stop and they'll just look at your bait and then they'll swim away. And they might do that 4 or 5 times. Had you not had that camera, you know, you would think there's no pike in the lake, but several times that has brought me back to another lake or kept me on a lake longer, knowing that those fish are down there. And it's really attributed to my success in catching some of those northerns, because it keeps me on a hole longer when you know you have fish down there. You just got to figure out what kind of jigging technique it's going to take to make them actually hit.
Absolutely. Keith Stanton is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Keith Stanton's PikeSpearing.com. PikeSpearing.com is the website, and you can find his Pike Killer Lures on there. We're going to talk about decoys and spearing in the next segment. But so far, have you been out much this year, Keith?
Yeah, yes and no. The cold spell, of course, kept us off the ice, mm-hmm. you know, there that week. And I do the Ultimate Fishing Show in Novi every year, so that always keeps me off of early ice, getting ready and around for that. But we've been out a fair amount. It's been very, very slow, and then we got all the rain, and so now the lakes are, I mean, good luck finding a nice, clear lake to do any spearing. So I've been working on filling the freezer here the last 2 weeks with bluegills. You know, we've been going out here and there. It's just been very slow and very tough spearfishing this year.
Well, you know what, and that's kind of a good thing to hear, because for those who haven't been out yet, there's time. So, you know, and we are coming up on that time, that, you know, what we like to consider that time for active pike fishing. So hang on. We're going to talk more with Keith Stanton here, being brought to you by Conquest Sense. ConquestSense.com. They are our sponsor here on Wild Michigan. If you'd like to do the same, by all means, hit us up on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. We'd love to have you on with Wild Michigan.
Enjoy. join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time in a state.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And it's really cool to look at the map of see where people are downloading the podcast from our website. And literally, it's really cool to see what the popular states are. California, for the longest time, was coming in at number two. Figure that one out. They like to hunt and fish in California. Of course they do. Northern California. Anyway, we're talking about pike spearing with Keith Stanton. Wild Michigan being brought to you by Conquest Scents, of course. Pikespearing.com is his website. Keith, a well-known, well-revered pike spearer and angler in Michigan. And Keith, you know, I'm looking at your decoys. The evolution of decoys, I mean, there really hasn't been a big one. I mean, they're pretty much, I mean, honestly, they haven't got so in detail with like live looking fish or anything else. These are all about flash and about color. And I'm going to say one right now, you've got one that looks like one of Eddie Van Halen's guitars. And oddly enough, it's the 5150. Right. But talk about, talk about the color and the importance of flash for pike.
You know, there are decoys out there that are super realistic, and of course, they're super expensive, and I like gaudy, ugly, flashy. Pike are curious, you know, by nature, and spearing, of course, you don't need them to bite it. You just need them to come in and take a look. So I like to keep mine bright, flashy, gaudy, and creative. So, you know, and I don't have a rhyme or reason. I'll be out there painting, and I'll, like the 5150, the Eddie Van Halen decoy you were talking about, just kind of came to me as I was painting along, and it's been one of my top sellers, of course. It just looks so cool. But, yeah, that, and then I throw a spoon on the back of the tail of these things. It's attached by a snap swivel just to add some extra flash. And I'm constantly switching colors. You'd be surprised. You'll have a pike sitting outside your hole that you can see but can't spear. You throw a different color decoy on, and that he'll zoom right in just to take a look at it. So I'm telling guys constantly, every 10, 12 minutes, change your decoy color and just keep going through the rotation until you find one that brings a pike in to take a look.
Keith Stanton's our guest here on WildMichiganPikeSpearing.com, where you can shop for the pike killer lures and the pike killer decoys. Keith, this is kind of a tongue-in-cheek question because I'm wondering, are pike dumb? Because the red and white combination has been around since the dawn of time, and it still works.
That's one of my favorites. It's one of my go-tos. It's another one of my top sellers. And it's are they dumb? I mean, some days it seems like, and other days, you know, they're definitely smarter than you are. They're, you know, they can trick you. The main thing is, I think they're just curious. They just want to know what's going on, and of course, in most waters, they're the apex predator, so they've got nothing to fear. So it's kind of their turf, and who's on my turf, and they want to come check everything out.
I mean, it just because I see that red and white combination, it's almost cliche. Because I mean, the daredevil lure and every you know Dowagiac lure, every you know everything in the world, there's a red and white combination directly for pike, and it works.
And so much of it, I think, is our own, as humans, our own doing. If you throw red and white constantly, of course, you're going to catch, when you do catch fish, it's going to be on red and white. So I think that a lot can be said for that. You know, just about any color combination, I think, will work if you throw it enough, is what it comes down to.
Sure. Yeah, it just seems to be one of those things. I mean, you know, you have your tiger, which is a very, you know, It's a good looking lure. I mean the Wonder Man, which you know is a take on the Wonder Bread lures because of the spotting. There's a lot of different combinations, and again, water clarity has a lot to do with it, and the types of fish, types of food that these things are eating have a lot to do with it as well.
Yeah, and you know, on the bright side, back to that dirty water situation. Right now, we're moving into the prime time, you know, for pike fishing or spearing in the winter. These fish are getting their eggs in them. Pretty soon they're going to start moving into the pre-spawn stage and move up into these shallower waters. And my favorite time to fish for pike and spear for pike is about in the next week until the end of season here in Michigan, which is March 15th. They're just the most active. Right now, the middle of February, beginning of February, I always call it the pike lull. It just seems like they really slow down. They're not doing a whole lot. You'll have a day or two where it'll be gangbusters on tip-ups or you'll see a bunch of fish. But for the most part, this time of year is real slow, but we are getting so close to the pike rut, I guess, for a lack of better mm-hmm. words. Pretty soon they are really going to turn on, and it should work out perfect. This water should clear up, and we should have a really great end to our season.
Now, you've got your own line of spears as well. There's a lot of old-school spears out there, but you have something that you've developed that you seem to like yourself. Could you tell us about that?
We have 7 and 9 tine spears. A good friend of mine who's been kind of doing the pike thing, with me ever since I've been doing it, Larry Harris down in Lake Orion, Michigan. He makes the spears handmade. The unique thing about our spears compared to most other styles is ours are all made out of round stock. And you'll find that a lot of times if you make a spear out of flat stock, if the head is made out of flat stock, the spear will plane when you're throwing it. So by switching everything over to that round stock, the spear won't plane. It flies true no matter how deep you're throwing it. And it's kind of a big deal to those guys that like to spear in a little bit deeper water. But you know what I always tell most guys? If Granddad has a spear, by all means use that, or just find one that feels comfortable in your hands. There's a lot of different methods and techniques you can do as far as tying your spear and different ways you can throw it to make just about any type of fork work for you. It's just a matter of knowing what you got and then knowing how to get the best performance out of it.
Now, Keith Stanton's our guest here on Wild Michigan. I've got a side business called Michigan Pick and Flip. I buy and sell a lot of antiques, a lot of old stuff, a lot of vintage stuff, and I come across a lot of cool sporting stuff. And this year I picked up a couple of spears. They're probably about 9 feet long. They would have been 10, but somebody cut the end off them to get them in the car, which really kind of bums me out because now they're not completely original, but I mean, that's a big hefty spear, 10 foot of wooden handle and
yeah,
a spear.
Are they whitefish spears maybe?
It very well could be. I don't know. I really can't, tell what's what, I mean, I look at your page and you've even got perch spears, which kind of blows my mind.
In St. Clair, Lake St. Clair, you can spear perch. And so same exact concept as pike, just no barbs on the spear. And, of course, it's a little smaller spear. but the beauty about that is you're not hooking and handling and injuring those smaller fish when they come in, as far as perch or pike for that matter. That's why spearing is such a great angling method. The fish that you choose to let swim away, you still get that enjoyment of having them under your feet and interacting with the fish. But when they swim away, they're unhooked, unharmed, and unhandled. So spearing, you don't do catch and release. You call what we call look and let go. And so it's a great method, actually. It's good for the fisheries when it comes right down to it to have spearing because those smaller fish, they don't get hooked. The ones that you don't want to eat, they swim away.
Boy, if only deer hunting could be the same thing.
I know, right? I know.
I was going to get that shot in sooner or later. Keith Stanton's our guest here, man. We appreciate you joining us. It's always an education to talk with you about pike spearing. Find him online, pikespearing.com. I'm going to learn to talk one of these days. I've been doing this, 25 years, Keith?
Thanks for having me, Durant.
Absolutely, man. Thanks so much. Listen to Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host, all over the Great Lakes State via the Michigan Talk Network and our website, wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you by Conquest Sense. ConquestSense.com, a great company with great people. And I love him to death, both as friends and as people involved with this show. It's very good to be involved with Doug and Karen Roberts and their crew over at Conquest, based right here in Michigan, out of Davison. And, you know, we speak with Doug on occasion. We'll have him back here coming up in just a little bit, because we're going to talk about antler growth. If some of the deer haven't even dropped antlers by now, which I've seen some cases where they haven't because they had a pretty decent winter up until recently. So, you know, it's been kind of nice and stress-free for them. But let's talk a little bit about fishing. I'm fishing a great body of water that I've had the opportunity to do some musky fishing on, some smallmouth bass fishing on, not to any great extent. It's one that I'm still not terribly familiar with. And Captain Wayne Carpenter is joining us here. He's going to be a seminar speaker at the upcoming Outdoor-rama at the Suburban Collection Showplace in Novi, towards the end of the month. Your first time on the show, Captain Wayne, and I appreciate you joining us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You know, and it's not until recently that I started really digging seminars. I really got into getting to watch the people that are speaking, because I'm a hands-on kind of guy. I have to kind of do it myself, and sometimes listening to me is kind of difficult. But as I've gotten older, I've learned to sit still a little bit and watch seminars. And you have one coming up at the Suburban Collection Showplace. You'll be featured there, talking about Lake St. Clair, particularly about smallmouth fishing. And I'm going to ask, I guess, first and foremost, Captain Wayne, why is that such a, I mean, it's a tremendous fishery for smallmouth, but I mean, it's getting national and worldwide recognition. But what makes that body of water so, you know, conducive to big smallmouth?
That's a great question. And when you compare it to some of the Great Lakes, which are, you know, larger bodies of water, Lake St. Clair offers a variety of structure, and actually shallower structure, and clean water. The water passes through there at least, you know, once a week. The water passes through. So water's very clean. The forage base has changed over the years, but it always seems to favor the smallmouth. And with the gobies exploding and the clear water with the zebra mussels, not flogger mussels, it just, everything has been in the smallmouth's favor, and they keep growing.
You know, it's so funny how we react over time to invasive species to now. I mean, back in the 50s and 60s, it was the alewife. We talk about this on the show, how it was an invasive species in Lake Michigan. Now it's a food source that has come up short and you know, has been very limited for some of our salmon species on there. And now with the goby becoming a species of food sources, rather, for lake trout and smallmouth bass and the like, we're kind of, you know, liking what's happening.
Absolutely, and it's funny you should bring up the alewife, because, yes, DNR's confirmed that the alewife are pretty much done in Lake St. Clair, and the gizzard shad are pretty much taken over. Gobies have also seemed to peel back. That's all anecdotal, but both from angler reports, from my observations, and also from DNR comments, that gobies are less so on Lake St. Clair than they have been. So gizzard shad are sort of taking over, and the bass are up. Feeding in that part of the water column in the middle, but they're still feeding on the bottom as well.
Now, what attracts a smallmouth? I mean, obviously, it's a smaller fish, and smallmouth are more of a predator fish. But there has to be something in the food source, if you will, that's really spurring the growth of these fish.
I think the goby population, when it exploded, it helped every species, smallmouth in particular. So you've seen this surge, which isn't over. We continue to see really high tournament weights coming in, and I don't see any end to that soon. Now that we have more higher water, I think we're going to have more smallmouth out there, eventually more forage, of course, with the additional spawning habitat for the forage base. And I just think we're going to continue to see growth for some time to come.
Captain Wayne Carpenter is joining us here on Wild Michigan. He'll be a seminar speaker at the Suburban Collection Showplace for Outdoor-rama coming up here towards the end of the month. His website is stclairreport.com, where you have lots of information. I mean, how you are on that lake, on Lake St. Clair, like throughout the course of the spring and summer, correct?
Yes.
and you guide over there as well. And of course, you're good friends with our friend Dan Kimmel from GreatLakesBass.com.
Yes.
So, what? How long have you been doing there? That there on St. Clair.
Well, professionally, I've been doing it for 20 years, 21 now. But I've been fishing out there, you know, somewhat longer than that, reaching back into the 80s.
That sounds rough. I know it's work, Captain Wayne, but still, at the same time, that has become such a tremendous body of water for smallmouth fishing and for muskie as well. If you would, I mean, growing up as a kid in the 70s, it was all about the largemouth bass. Guys like Bill Dance, Jimmy Houston, you know, all these guys, largemouth, largemouth, largemouth. And now the smallmouth is really taking off in these tournament fishing and has become something even more more targeted, I think.
Well, certainly smallmouth are the dominant species out on Lake St. Clair, as we were told. And so as prominent as the muskie are, and it's a world-class muskie fishery as well, the smallmouth are pretty much the dominant predator out there. Back in the day, like you mentioned, largemouth were easy to target. I like to say that bass anglers are structure-oriented. So if you see a piece of structure, you cast to it, you catch a bass. And that was very much a largemouth thing. Nowadays, with clearer water and what we've discovered through partly through technology, faster boats that can go farther, better electronics, we're finding so many fish offshore. And also the smallmouth are going to dominate in weight as well. Largemouth can't compete weight-wise day in and day out. So tournament anglers are going to target smallmouth. Weekend anglers and every casual angler out there should be going for the smallmouth because you're going to catch more and bigger fish that way.
Yeah, I've been out there on Lake St. Clair with Dan and some other anglers out there, and one of the guys I was with ended up catching a 5-pounder, and that seems, you know, back in the day that used to be something, you know, something huge, and now it's just becoming kind of the norm.
Absolutely, and what's nice is when I'm taking a client out, I can pretty much be confident that they will catch at least one fish of a lifetime while they're on the boat. We may not catch all big fish, but at least one of those fish will be a fish of a lifetime.
That's fantastic. Speaking with Captain Wayne here on Wild Michigan. Captain, if you don't mind hanging on a little bit, we're going to do another segment because I want to talk about how you're targeting these fish while you're out on your charters, if you don't mind hanging on.
Okay.
All right. We are speaking with Captain Wayne Carpenter here on Wild Michigan. Again, Outdoorama coming up towards the end of the month, end of February, beginning of March. All the details are on our website and on our Facebook page as well. If you'd like to follow us on Facebook.com/Wild Michigan. And we've got some of the new limits for perch and some of the bodies of water in Michigan as well. That was a big to-do last week was announced. And the NRC meeting this week on bear and some other things. So if you've ever never attended things with the NRC meetings, I probably think that now is a good time to go. By all means, pay attention to what we have posted up on our Facebook page and on our website at wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you by Conquest Sense. A lot of things going on here around the state, and we will have them all posted there. We appreciate you joining us. So much more coming your way. And if you missed the first segment with Keith Stanton, by all means, check that out as well. It's Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez here on the Michigan Talk Network.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by Conquest Scents. Find them online, conquestscents.com. And we're visiting with Captain Wayne Carpenter, who's going to be a seminar speaker at the upcoming Outdoor Rama. I mean, we get him here and like up close and personal and get to ask the questions we have, but attending these seminars at places like Outdoor Rama, Ultimate Fishing Show, and things of that nature are really where you get your questions answered. Mine are just pretty much everyday questions that are mine. They're not prescripted or anything else because I have questions like everyone else does, and we're very fortunate to have the opportunity to speak with these ladies and gentlemen here on the show. Captain Wayne, appreciate you joining us here, and I want to talk a little bit about your charters because I've never really done a smallmouth bass charter, and I'm not really a bass angler per se. So, you know, the few times I've been out on St. Clair to target bass, it just, my mind was just completely blown at how different things are because, like largemouth, you talked about structure and targeting that structure and figuring there's going to be a largemouth bass in that area where smallmouth are really kind of different.
Smallmouth, in pretty much everywhere you go, they tend to move around quite a bit more than largemouth. Largemouth tend to be homebodies, stick to a piece of structure. Smallmouth will school, especially on Lake St. Clair, they're always moving. You might go to one spot one day and maybe load it with big fish, go back the next day, find either small fish or nothing because the school has moved on. So that's part of the challenge. In addition, lately, we've had higher water and a very rapid increase in higher water, which has increased the difficulty in terms of how we present to these fish to catch them. So for several years now, it's been kind of difficult to get the right presentation. And we're dialing it in now. Here last year, I think we started to dial in. But if anybody goes, I really recommend taking a number of rods. I do this in my seminars. They'll be in the evenings at the Outdoor Rama on Lake St. Clair. But I recommend taking a number of rods, like 3, 4, 5 rods rigged already, both for bottom, fishing off the bottom, drop shot, swim baits, maybe top water. Do a range in the water column to find out where the fish are, because they are moving, and they're not only moving on the bottom, but they're also moving within the water column. If they're feeding on gizzard shad, swim bait will be a good choice. If they're feeding on gobies, a tube would be a good choice, like that.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's not like, you know, some things that you can just target with like one particular type of lure, but that's the thing about bass fishing that I have learned over the years from watching the pros and being at the classics, things like that. These guys have a dozen rods all rigged for different things. One, there's no time in a tournament to be switching things out. Two, you know, adapting different type of rod, different type of, you know, water column, and like you said, all the different types of presentations that you're doing is, it's kind of wild and different for me, I guess. And to have that, you know, be a new guy on on a charter like this, it's already kind of overwhelming for me.
Well, and St. Clair can be overwhelming because even though it's not considered a Great Lake, you can't see across it most days and on some spots. So it is quite large. So to actually figure out where the bass are is job one, or where they're not is actually a bigger job. I have several books speaking to that, of course, in the seminars will cover that and how to eliminate water and get in areas where there are fish. But once you're in that area, a lot of times people ask me, well, what do you throw? And the answer can be basically dictated by the structure that you're on. And if your structure that is 3 feet deep, then you throw lures that match that. If your structure is 15 feet deep, you throw lures to match that. And a lot of times we're going in between those depths, so you continue to have the different rods available for fishing time.
Captain Wayne Carpenter, our guest here on Wild Michigan. So I take it they're not like a real deep water fish. I mean, I know they're not structured for that physically, but they don't seem to be, you know, they have that column, that 3 to 15, and even top water, like you mentioned.
That's a great point, and I think the perception of Lake St. Clair as being shallow is true in most respects. Right around the 20-foot range, 21, 22, 23, with the additional water now, is where we'll be fishing, and anywhere in that range is fine. It just depends on where you're at in the lake. They're everywhere. There is no limit. There's no thermocline. Now, if you're going to go into the river, like St. Clair River, there are areas where they're down as far as 55 feet deep. So there is a deep smallmouth out there.
But in terms of everyday fishing and in terms of Lake St. Clair, 20-odd feet and up, it's all fair game.
Do you do any type of river fishing for smallmouth, any charters, or are you strictly St. Clair?
Well, I love the St. Clair River the most. Being up there in the summertime, especially come August, it's a dream. It's like walleye fishing for bass. We vertical jig, and we can pick up bass fairly easily that way. However, the river hasn't been kind to us for about the last 6-7 years. I write about that in my fourth book and talk to the DNR a little bit about the theory behind that. Lake St. Clair has been stronger even than Lake Erie and is producing Lake Erie-sized fish, smallmouth these days. And the Canadian side of Lake St. Clair has been a little stronger in the summer, although you cannot beat Lake St. Clair in the spring. If you come in the spring, likely you're on to 100 fish days. Fishing close to shore is something very easy. They bite just about everything. So I recommend coming as early as March, April, early May to get on those, get on the big bite.
You giggled. You giggled in that comment, which to me, to hear somebody, a seasoned veteran like yourself, giggle about smallmouth in the spring, that was like a dead giveaway that's the time you really need to get out there.
It's a good time to build confidence, too, because it's a big body of water. Later on, St. Clair will challenge you as the fish move into summer spots. So in spring, you can build confidence with the baits that you throw. You can build confidence with your equipment, hooking up smallmouth. If you start losing fish in the spring, you can figure out why, because you're catching multiple fish. By the time you get to summer, your skills are pretty tight.
Yeah, you know what? And having a fish move around like that, it's not like walleye where you can mark them on the GPS or you run through. It's a very different, from what I'm hearing from you, it's very different. My two best smallmouth have come from a river up in the UP that I just happened to look down from a bridge. I looked down, I see these two monsters swimming around by a giant boulder, ended up getting a 6 and a 5 out of there within 3 casts.
Nice.
Both went
nice.
Back. But thank God I had about 6 of my friends with me because nobody would have believed that. But at the same time, that was luck. I looked down, I saw the fish, and I, had fished that spot one time before with the same kind of success. But, St. Clair, with that much water, with fish movement, I think going out, with a guide like yourself is probably a really good way to start if you've not fished that river first with a guide. Because if you want to go back, it's going to be a crapshoot without, having some kind of knowledge. And I probably suggest that you might hook up with Captain Carpenter about that.
Well, thanks for that. And I'm considered a teaching captain, so GPSs are welcome. I want you to learn about the lake and get you started on understanding the structure and where you can repeat patterns so you can have multiple trips even on your own. So I'm considered a teaching captain in that respect.
And that's very good, too. This was something when I talked to our friend Bill Parker at Michigan Outdoor News, who's working with Outdoorama and Showspan, about, yes, you just kind of popped up in my head. And I said, and Bill put us in contact. And I'm glad that we did get you on the show because I love the aspect that you are a teaching captain. Our good friend Lance Valentine has been on the show with us, since we started 14 years ago. We've been doing this show, I think. And and it's all about learning, because what I know about any body of water versus a captain who's there all the time is so, the difference is so huge. And that's why I'm very glad that we have you on the show here today. StClairReport.com is his website. You can also do a Google search for Captain Wayne Carpenter or go see him at the upcoming Outdoorama, coming up at the end of this month with at Showspan at the Suburban Collection Showplace. Captain, we still got a little bit of time left here. Anything else you want to add?
Well, at the Outdoorama, it starts on February 28th, and my St. Clair seminar is in the evening. That will be, it'll be at 8 o'clock. I have an earlier seminar on high-percentage baits Friday, March 1st, it'll be at 7:30 p.m. Saturday, it'll be at 6 p.m. for my No Secrets on Lake St. Clair seminars. So that we're going to cover how to rig, how to approach Lake St. Clair now with the higher water, some of the advantages we have, and some things to avoid so that we can stay on fish. I love this seminar. This is actually a culmination of years of work here to put this one together because we've been suffering for a few years figuring it out, and I think we've got a lot of it figured out now.
Well, good. I'll be looking forward to seeing you down there, Outdoorama, 28th through the 3rd of March. You can go see Captain Wayne Carpenter yourself, and I'm pretty sure that Keith Stanton might be floating around as well, no pun intended. Hopefully he's not floating. He's on bike spearing. But, Captain, we look forward to meeting you and seeing you in person. If you don't mind hanging on the line, I'll talk to you as soon as I can close out this segment of the show.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Find him again, Captain Wayne Carpenter, online, stclairreport.com. Keith Stanton at pikespearing.com. Conquest Sense, all these links on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network.